The news this morning, Ford is canceling its plans for a $1.6 billion plant you were getting ready to build in Mexico. We're instead going to create 700 jobs at this plant.
Citicorp, J.P. Morgan Chase, Barclays, and Royal Bank of Scotland are all pleading guilty to criminal conduct. They admit conspiring to fix the U.S. dollar's exchange rate against the euro.
The penalty that all of these banks will now pay is fitting, considering the long-running and egregious nature of their anti-competitive conduct.
Across Asia, major markets are kicking off 2017 on a solid note, with economic growth still expected to outpace other parts of the world.
This society should say, we're going to pay for college because you need college to be successful.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10, and today is Wednesday. It's January 4th, 2017. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Glad to have you along. Lots to talk about. The opening montage there you heard at the end, the state of New York moving to provide free college to kids who make under $125,000 a year. A big move by the state of New York, a big announcement there. Also, the big Ford announcement we'll get into momentarily. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk to the author of a new book. It's called Beautiful Money. It's the 4-week total wealth makeover. We'll maybe get you rich in about a month or so. That'll be coming up later in our show. But first, on the WGN opening bell, market to watch this morning from Associated Bank. Dow is up, the futures 23 points. The S&P futures are up 3. The NASDAQ futures are up 5. One of the big movers today is oil, not as high as it was yesterday, $52.40 a barrel. Crude oil up just a couple of ticks this morning. Lots of concern globally about the oil prices, and we'll have more on that, too, later in the program today. World markets in Asia, generally higher. In Europe, generally lower. The FTSE off almost a full percent this morning. The DAX and the CAC off as well. We're seeing a little bit of movement again in the United States toward higher open later this morning. Dow futures now ticking up. Looks like the screen updating itself. Dow futures up 119 points now this morning. A couple of stories that we're watching for you while you slept last night or yesterday afternoon. The parent of First Midwest Bank announced it's moving its corporate headquarters from Northwest Suburban Itasca to the northwest side of Chicago. They'll bring with it 300 employees and their commercial banking teams. Also yesterday, the United States U.S. regulators fined TransUnion and Equifax. They have to pay more than $23.2 million in fines and restitutions for deceiving consumers about the usefulness and cost of credit scores they bought. The U.S. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says the payments also resolve charges that TransUnion and Equifax lured consumers into enrolling in credit services advertised as free or costing only $1, later costing about $200 a year. Also yesterday, Treasury Secretary nominee Steven Mnuchin has declined to answer questions from Democratic senators about his views on financial regulations, sanctions, and his time as head of a bank accused of unfair foreclosure practices. Mnuchin, of course, one of the former Goldman Sachs partners, profited from the 2007-2008 housing market. This doesn't mean he's not going to answer their questions eventually. He'll eventually appear before the council or committee, and he will also provide written answers to questions after that appearance, but apparently nothing before the appearance. And of course, the big news yesterday, Ford Motor Company announcing its plans to invest $700 million in a plant in Michigan and canceling plans to invest $1.6 billion in a new plant that had been planned for Mexico. The Ford CEO, Mark Fields, telling CNBC.
Overall, this was a decision that was in the best interest of Ford. And the bottom line is the reason that we canceled the plant is because we were going to put our next generation focus in that plant. And we've seen a market decline in small vehicles here in North America. So we're actually going to build the focus in an existing plant in Mexico. And we simply didn't need the capacity anymore.
The Focus is currently built in another Mexican plant, which has been previously the subject of criticism of President-elect Donald Trump. Ford's new investment in the U.S. will result in 700 new jobs at its Flat Rock, Michigan plant. Let's bring in Dale Buss from Michigan this morning. Dale is writing for Forbes magazine. He's written a little bit about this. Dale, good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning, and same to you, Steve.
Good to have you with us as we kick off another year here. Thank you, by the way, for your contributions last year on the program. We're glad to have your expertise. You're sort of there in the middle of all of this in Michigan. So is Mr. Fields right, or is Donald Trump right, or is the truth somewhere in the middle here about what made this decision?
Well, Mr. Fields is right in a sense. I wrote about this yesterday on Forbes.com. Really, this is a win-win situation all around. And it's interesting that Fields is trying to have it both ways. I mean, he said that, well, we decided not to put a new plant in Mexico to build Focus because demand for Focus has been down. Well, demand for Focus has been down now for a couple of years, at least because of gasoline prices dropping and because of growing consumer preferences for SUVs and crossovers, you know, even considering the fuel economy factor. But it wasn't very long ago that Fields was saying that this was a decision Ford could not reverse, that, you know, the horse had left the barn and they simply had to go ahead for business reasons to build this new plant in Mexico. And he would be saying that while Trump was on the campaign trail, you know, beating up on Ford over the fact. So it's interesting that Fields both said, well, we decided we could reverse our decision on that because Focus isn't selling. But at the same time, he's also saying that he likes what he's heard and seen so far from Trump. He likes what he's heard and seen so far in terms of Trump's growth orientation. And certainly you see in a collective sense, you see CEOs around the country rallying to Trump's message, not necessarily politically, but in the sense that he's presaging growth when he takes office. All he's done is talk about growth. The economy seems poised to grow, and Fields is acknowledging that and saying, well, also, we want to give Trump's policies a chance to work.
We're on with Dale Buss from Michigan. Dale, as we come back from the break, I'd like to talk a little bit about the tweak of General Motors, also about tariffs, because we heard that being mentioned. We'll continue our pre-dawn conversation with Dale Buss on Ford, GM, and all of this CEO news regarding President-elect Donald Trump. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, the stocks of local interest that are moving this morning, we're watching Caterpillar, which is up almost 1.5% pre-market today. Also, one of the other movers this morning is Deere & Company, also up about 1%. This is the opening bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, investors broke a three-day losing streak ushering in the new year yesterday with broad gains. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 119 points to 19,881. The S&P 500 rose 19 points. The NASDAQ Composite picked up 46. Ford Motors is canceling plans to build a new $1.5 billion factory in Mexico. Will instead invest some of that money in a U.S. factory to build electric and autonomous vehicles. The new year could bring us the highest gasoline prices since 2012. The average cost of regular unleaded is expected to reach $2.49 a gallon in 2017, up from $2.13 last year. That could mean drivers will be collectively shelling out $52 billion more at the pump in 2016. And consumers finally opened their wallets this holiday season, but a record amount of that spending went to online retailers. Foot traffic at the brick and mortars was driven by discounting, so analysts expect to see more store closings this year. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
521, we're back on the program. Dale Buss is with us from Michigan this morning talking about all of the latest auto news, including the news about Ford and also General Motors. Dale, yesterday the president-elect tweeted that the General Motors Corporation is sending Mexican-made models of Chevy Cruze to U.S. car dealers tax-free across the border, he wrote in a tweet. Make USA great or pay big border tax. This has made a lot of people concerned. First of all, what is the truth about General Motors, and how would a border tax or a tariff hurt automakers?
Well, what Trump tweeted literally is the truth in the sense that GM makes almost all of the Cruze small car for the U.S. market at a plant in Ohio, Lordstown, Ohio. And that plant is going to be down for a week or two this month because GM did a poor job of planning production-wise over the last several months, and they've got inventory that's too high right now for demand for that car. But they do make a version of Cruze, a hatchback version, at a plant in Mexico, and almost all of that car is exported to markets other than the U.S. You know, a few of them are sent to the U.S., but you just don't see many hatchback Cruze models on American roads. So GM pointed that out yesterday, and I think this is a bit of a kerfuffle over basically nothing, especially compared to Ford's situation. So, but it's interesting that Trump had asked Mary Barra, the CEO of General Motors, to serve on this new CEO committee, policy committee that he's formed. And so this is kind of his welcome to her, like, hey, if you're going to play in my league here, you know, I might call you out from time to time. But this will blow over because this really doesn't involve, you know, much volume at all.
Yeah.
But it does point out that if you're a CEO, especially in the auto industry, you got to be on the edge of your seat right now, even before he's president, because you never know quite what he's going to say.
Yeah, and this notion, too, of he wrote a big border tax. The White House yesterday responded saying that a big border tax would be the worst thing you could do for U.S. automakers right now. Is that pretty accurate? What did the White House mean by that?
Well, sure. A tariff of, let's say, 35% or whatever, which Trump has suggested, would be, you know, awful for the U.S. auto industry on cars coming from Mexico, because beyond the Ford plant that we've been talking about in this General Motors situation, just about every major automaker now is building or has built a major operation in Mexico. And so they're bringing a lot of those vehicles into the U.S. under the North American Free Trade Agreement without tariffs. So they're just a crucial part of supplying the U.S. auto market. If suddenly Trump decided I'm going to slap a 35% tariff or 20% or whatever it would be, it could end up being disastrous for the auto industry, especially considering the amount of integration that goes on with suppliers as well, with, you know, components going back and forth across the border for assembly. So I don't think that's going to happen. Nobody really thinks that's going to happen. You know, as part of Trump's modus operandi, which is let's stake out a negotiating position and we'll work from there. However, I will say that I'm surprised the extent to which CEOs have responded to these specific incidents, these specific provocations from Trump, sometimes via Twitter. And in a way, he's sort of shaping an ad hoc industrial policy, you know, 140 characters at a time.
Yeah, and I don't know if you feel like that is dangerous. There are some analysts who say that has a danger written all over it, but also sort of opens up this sure. new era of governing.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, if you listen to Trump's enemies, they'll say, well, this is absolutely ridiculous. He just kind of wakes up in the morning and, you know, at 6 a.m. he tweets something, you know, maybe he had something bad for breakfast and he gets ticked off and decides to pick on a new company. Don't think that's quite what's happening, but it is interesting to see how he's managing to pull some companies in line that he publicly identified during his campaign, including Carrier as well as Ford. And in a way, he's also putting other companies on notice. Hey, if you've got a Mexican operation or if you're thinking about putting one there, you might want to think twice because you might get involved in this. But what you got to keep in mind is all of this stems from one of the most important platforms of his campaign, one of the things that got him elected, which is protecting American manufacturing jobs. And if he can do it a few thousand at a time, I'm sure he would say, hey, I'll take that. Doesn't comprise an overall policy, and there are dangers in terms of, you know, cronyism and, you know, all sorts of red flags about it. But I think he would say, you know, if I can – I mean, I've already turned the table on a couple thousand jobs for Americans. You know, I'll keep doing it if I want.
Dale, we have just a little bit of time left here, 30 seconds or so, but the auto sales report for December comes out. Any notion about what we might see?
Well, it's going to be a squeaker. It'll be a photo finish in terms of whether 2016 sales are actually shown to have exceeded 2015 sales. Both have come in around 17.5 million cars. What'll be interesting is 2017 and whether once again, the industry can post a record. I think there's a little more optimism about that possibility under some of the growth orientation that seems to be taking hold, but probably it'll be about the same in 2017, and it'll be really interesting to watch.
Dale Buss with us from Michigan this morning. You can follow him on Twitter at Dale D. Buss. Read his latest on this Ford story at Forbes.com. Dale, good to have you with us as always.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
It's 5:28 on the opening bell. By the way, this morning, Ford Motor Company is pre-market trading up about 3.5%. General Motors is trading up about 1% after losing about the same amount yesterday after the Donald Trump tweet. They're up again about almost 1% this morning pre-market.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 538 on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. As we get ready to head to work, maybe you're already there sitting at your desk. The goal is to get a paycheck probably at the end of the week. Money is what we, most of us, work for, and others, I guess, love our jobs. I do. But do we put too much emphasis on money? A new book called Beautiful Money, The 4-Week Total Wealth Makeover is out. Leanne Jacobs is the author, and she's with us this morning on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you on, because I think as we start the new year, this might be a good conversation to have. Your notion of beautiful money, I hear the, beautiful money. I hear the, that's not what you mean, though, is it?
No, it's definitely, I believe it's the first book that really speaks about money in a very holistic way, not just about number crunching and budgeting, but really taking, you know, all of our being into perspective when it comes to making money.
Is it that we think of money in the wrong way, or that we focus our energy on money in the wrong way? I think I'm very intrigued by this notion of holistic wealth. And holistic money. Give us a sense of what that means and how we're thinking about money, maybe in the wrong way.
Well, it's that feeling of chasing. You know, I think that we've all been there, but when it's just about making the money and we're sacrificing too much of our health and our time and we're not feeling fulfilled and we're feeling disconnected on the chase for money, that's when there's a challenge. I think we've all been there, but beautiful money is really to reconnect us with creating wealth instead of that money chase that really impacts us in a negative way.
Wealth being more than just the zeros on your paycheck. You write in your book that a lot of us are financially and spiritually and emotionally broke.
Yes. And that's when, you know, we're just focused on checking all those goals off, getting that promotion, getting that great paycheck. And once we get there, we sort of feel like, is that it? And there's that emptiness. And we realize that the journey, we've been kind of hustling and rushing our way through the journey. So the book is really about to reconnect us with how can we have a more meaningful journey along our path to making money? And how can we, you know, really put ourselves first and at the core and at the center of our journey?
And so if we have, as listening to you, have determined that we're financially, emotionally, spiritually broke and want to embark on your total wealth makeover, what's our first step?
So the first step is, I call it creating gorgeous space. And that's where most of us are living, where our cup is full. You know, the term adrenal fatigue or completely burnt out or just frustrated and angry and exhausted. So before we can really bring more money in and more abundance into our life, we have to create the space for it. So week one really brings you along on the journey to how do you do that? Where do you start? What does it mean to create space for more wealth? And so that's really what we do in the beginning. So we're making the space.
And does it also mean kind of getting rid of some of that debt, too, whether it's the actual financial debt or some of the baggage?
Absolutely. So when we can create that space, we definitely become more mindful, more connected. We tend to emotionally spend less. And it also definitely, there's usually a very quick reduction in debt.
So as we move along this, what are the pitfalls that people in your experience generally hit? Because I know with New Year's resolutions, some people get into it a couple of weeks and give up. What makes people give up on this journey?
typically it's feeling like a failure. For people who tend to have a challenge with spending or impulsively spending or emotionally spending, sometimes what can happen is a self-sabotage. So if they have a day where they spend too much or they spend in a misaligned way, sometimes they can have I just blew my day, so I'm just going to call it a week, and self-sabotage them into a greater hole instead of giving themselves permission to not be perfect, but to stay the course. So that can be a trap, especially for people who are type A or all or nothing type of personalities. So that one it's about, you know, not just giving up if you're not perfect.
We're talking with Leanne Jacobs, the author of Beautiful Money, the 4-week total wealth makeover. Leanne, from your bio, I see that you've worked with Fortune 100 companies, Johnson & Johnson, Nike, DuPont. You were in sales and marketing. What put you on this path? What gave you this idea to change things?
I think there's a big shift going out there. At the time when I started my own Beautiful Money journey, I was really seeking more fulfillment. I could definitely check things off of my list, but I was feeling disconnected. I wanted to feel a greater sense of contribution. I felt that, you know, there was definitely a trend emerging where people are seeking more freedom, more flexibility. They don't want to have a cap on their income. And I wanted to find a more creative way to, you know, definitely feel like I was contributing, but I felt that I was worthy of at least committing to a path where I could see what my potential was.
It's interesting that you write in your book that money can hear you, can hear us. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so that doesn't necessarily, the book is really not, it's very grounded and practical.
Sure.
But when I talk about money can hear you, we often don't recognize the language we have often used throughout our whole life around money. So if we grew up in a household where we can't afford it, we can't do that because we don't have any money, we're always going to be in debt. That language tends to carry on into our own adulthood. So it's just about taking a second to say, wow, like the language, if I'm using scarcity language often around money, typically that can be a reason why more isn't coming in. So it's not about switching overnight, but it's about being really mindful that language carries energy just like money. Right? So we want to really be mindful that our language is in alignment with where we want to go with our money as well.
There may be people out there listening, Leanne, who are barely making ends meet, who don't have a lot of money. I'm mindful of the Fight for 15 movement, the $15 an hour minimum wage. What would you say to people who are struggling just to get the money they need to survive about this journey?
Well, I think this is a perfect book for anyone in that situation, because what it's going to do is it's going to unlock a plan for you, but also it's going to unleash creativity and you're really going to feel a new sense of empowerment around, okay, well, what are some things I can do in a creative way to get myself to that next financial bracket? How can I create some space? And then there's also a whole week on respecting money and money management and being really excellent with the money you currently have so that more can start coming in.
I often hear people who do have a lot of money say, well, and maybe they're the people that have come to your realization as well. They say, you can't take your money with you when you die. And they're intent on making sure that they're helping causes and being a conscientious, wealthy person. Is that part of this too?
Yeah, and I think the whole concept of personal legacy doesn't necessarily mean you have to have children, but it's like, how can I, you know, create impact far beyond my own lifetime? And I know these are big questions, but this concept is definitely addressed throughout the book. And it helps you make money decisions today, not just about instant gratification, but about how is this going to serve me 10 years down the road. So we start making more choices for long-term benefit instead of how can I just feel really, really great right now.
As we look to the future, a lot of people are saying there may come a time when we don't even have money, when we as a society don't need money anymore. Will this prepare us for that?
I think this is prepared preparing us for definitely an evolution and where we're going from a consciousness perspective around money, absolutely. And I see it even this morning on my Facebook, the amount I asked a question around beautiful money and the answers I'm getting to people, you would not see them that 10 years ago. You know, people are really evolving and they're seeking meaning. They definitely want the money, but there's bigger reasons behind why they're seeking more. And I think that this book is really the spark plug for the conversation.
Leanne Jacobs, the author of Beautiful Money, the 4-week total wealth makeover. You can find more at beautifulmoney.com. And Leanne, how can we find your Facebook page?
So you can actually just type in Beautiful Money and you will be able to join our community of holistic wealth.
Leanne, thank you for being with us this morning, and all the best to you in the new year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:50 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures pairing back a bit, up just 26 points now. S&P futures up about 4. NASDAQ futures up about 7.5. For the latest on commodities and agriculture, good morning now to Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, the first day didn't start out very well for the cattle and hog and grain producers across the country. Soybeans, for example, fell to a 6-week low yesterday, thanks to improving crop prospects in South America and now some uncertainty about export demand from China. Corn did move higher. Technical buying, they say, and expectations that commodity index funds will buy grain next week as they rebalance portfolios. Wheat closed lower, retreating from early advances yesterday at the end of the day. The March wheat contract stood at 406.5. The March corn contract at 392.25. January soybeans at 986.75. Pretty much the same story in the livestock complex yesterday. Hog futures settling lower, profit-taking and fund liquidation, dropping futures from an early session 4-month high. February hogs ended down $2.65 a hundredweight in yesterday's trade. And then live cattle contracts, sell stops, profit-taking and technical selling there as well. So at the end of the day, the February lean hog contract down $2.77, February live cattle down $1.57, January feeder cattle down 45 cents. This week, at the moment, right now in Irvine, California, Farm Foundation holding its annual roundtable gathering. And then in Phoenix, Arizona, on Saturday, the annual convention of the American Farm Bureau Federation will get underway. We'll be there to cover that. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Now, the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. The Federal Reserve releases minutes from its December interest rate meeting today, while the Mortgage Bankers Association issues its weekly tally of home loan applications. Long-term mortgage rates have been rising for several weeks, making it more expensive to borrow money to buy a home. Rates on 30-year fixed loans ticked up most recently to an average of 4.32%. That's the highest since April of 2014. Mortgage applications have been mostly declining in the weeks since the rates started moving higher. Also today, we're awaiting the 2016 motor vehicle sales. They'll be released sometime after 11 o'clock Chicago time. The American Petroleum Institute hosts the State of American Energy event, with the API president and CEO delivering his annual address and outlining priorities for the oil and natural gas industry. Also today, the Consumer Electronics Show is opening in Las Vegas. A lot of preview events today before the show gets underway in earnest tomorrow on Thursday. The big items this year, the hot items, will be all kinds of consumer electronics, the new thing in televisions, the latest on cameras and all kinds of other gadgets. Again, that's the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, in Las Vegas. Also today, the 2017 Writers Guild Awards, theatrical and documentary screenplay nominations will be announced. Just some of the things on the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. all of them could or somehow move the markets a little bit. A couple of other stories we want to share with you before we leave this morning. Official figures show that inflation across the 19-country Eurozone spiked in December to its highest rate in more than 3 years, largely on the back of rising energy costs. Eurostat, the European Union Statistic Agency, says annual inflation rose to 1.1% in December from November's 0.6%. December's rate, the highest since September 23rd. Also this morning, the head of the federal agency that oversees potentially risky financial market activities says he will leave his office at the end of the Obama administration on January 20th. Timothy Massad was appointed by President Obama to head the Commodity Futures Trading Commission in November of 2013. His term wasn't set to end until 2019. The corporate attorney and former Treasury Department official announced his resignation yesterday. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning on the Steve Cochran Show coming up next, and we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. Until then, I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great day.